نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. سورة يوسف، verse 1-6. ألف لام را، تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. ألف لام را. These are the verses of the book that make things clear. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum taqilun. We have revealed this Qur'an in the Arabic language so that you may understand. Nahnu naqussu 'alayka ahsana al-qasas. We relate to you the best of the stories. Bima awhayna ilayka hadha al-Qur'an. Through revealing this Qur'an to you. وَإِن كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Though before this, you were one of those who did not know. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ. When Yusuf said to his father, يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. O my father, in a dream I saw 11 stars. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. The sun and the moon. رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. I saw them prostrate themselves before me. قال يا بنيا. He replied, my dear little son, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك. Do not say anything about this dream to your brothers. فيكيدوا لك كيدا, lest they plot an evil scheme against you. إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. For Shaitan is an open enemy to human beings. وكذلك يجتبيك ربك. It will happen that you will be chosen by your Rab. وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. He will teach you how to interpret visions. وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ. And will perfect his favor upon you. وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ. And the children of Yaqub. كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقِ. As he perfected it upon your forefathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq, before you. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Surely your Rabb is knowledgeable, wise. Tafsir. This surah was revealed in Mecca. 111 verses, 12 sections. It was revealed at the end of the Meccan period, close to the time of Hijrah, when the people of Quraysh were plotting as to whether they should kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or imprison him or exile him. At that time, some of the disbelievers of Mecca decided to test the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were encouraged to do so by the Jews. They questioned the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, what was the reason that Bani Israel went to Egypt? Now, because the Arabs were not aware of the story behind it, and there was no mention of it in any of their traditions, so there was also no immediate way that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have gained knowledge about this, nor had the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever mentioned this. So the kuffar, the disbelievers, were convinced that he would be exposed as an impostor and not a true prophet, because he would be unable to answer, or he would answer after asking some Jews. But the kuffar were in for a big setback. In the gathering at which they asked the above question, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the immediate revelation of Surah Yusuf. And not only was the whole story revealed at once, but also the Quraysh were reminded by Allah Ta'ala that they were doing the same to their brother, that is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what the brothers of Yusuf alaihi salam did to Yusuf. That is why this whole incident became the source of their humiliation. Also, we see it was a miracle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and certainly a great proof of his prophethood, for he was simply an ummi, unlettered, one who was not taught by anyone, who had never read a book, and who had lived in Mecca practically for his whole life. Yet he narrated all events mentioned in the Torah correctly. The Jews tried to test the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which proved to be in vain, for its effect turned out to be just the reverse of what they had intended. It only went on to prove the excellence and authenticity of the Messenger of Allah in a far more evident manner. From this it became clear that he was already an Ummi and had no knowledge of world history. Now that he came to know of this needs an explanation, and there can be no explanation for this except that he was divinely educated and blessed with revelation as a prophet of Allah Ta'ala. You see, there are many injunctions and instructions which emerge from these verses, many lessons to be learnt in the surah, and then it will be linked with the seerah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end. So we will directly come to the surah. Look at the text, please. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Ra. The isolated letters. Huruful Muqatta'at of the Holy Quran. These letters join to make the Quran, which is a miracle. Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. These are the verses of the book that make things clear. This is a Quran which clearly states its subject. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum taqilun. We have revealed this Quran in the Arabic language so that you may understand. The Quran was revealed in Arabic. Why? Because Allah says la'allakum taqilun, so that you may understand. And here, if you see, the whole world is addressed. Now, how can we understand it then when our language is not Arabic? You see, this book addresses all the mankind, and everyone is told what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. So how can we understand it when it is not revealed in our language? So the answer is, you see, each of the books which were revealed came in the language of the nation which they were revealed to. Similarly, this Quran is addressed firstly to the Arabs, who would go on to convey this message to the world. It was therefore only fair that it should be revealed in their language so that their communication with their prophet should be clear and immediate, and they could then go on to convey it also. You see, the superpowers of that time, they were Persians and the Romans, and yet it was not revealed in their language. Why not? Because in terms of language, the Arabic language had the most vastness in terms of meaning and the ability to say so much in few words. You see, the Arabic language is the most eloquent, plain, deep and expressive of the meanings that might arise in one's mind. Therefore, the most honorable book was revealed in the most honorable language to the most honorable prophet and messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, delivered by the most honorable angel in the most honorable land on earth, and its revelation started during the most honorable month of the year, Ramadan. Therefore, the Quran is perfect in every aspect. Now, it is called Arabi. Why? Because it expresses its subject clearly. The subject that it wants to state, it explains that very clearly. It is the most expressive language and has the best selection of words. You see, sometimes one word can have so many meanings, or sometimes in one meaning you find many words, and this adds to the depth with what you can speak or write, whereas no other language has this ability. Also, you know that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was afsahul arab. He was afsahul lisan, meaning incredibly eloquent. And the whole environment in Arabia was such that there was no industry, any art or art of construction, and they lived in a vast and open desert, hot days and beautiful star-filled night skies. There were no great boundaries and barriers. A nation that has a lot of technological advancement will naturally become farther and farther away from the nature. For example, people who live in the world of machines often become cold in their manner. They lose some of the emotions and feelings that people have. A nation with such things then also lose touch with such things as poetry and literature. The more man is advancing, the more he is losing the human touch. Because people who have become used to living in huge high-rise buildings don't have time to look at the sky. In the city of lights, the starry night sky does not look so glamorous. For example, picnics have to be planned to go anywhere near nature. So you see, those who live in such natural environments live far closer to nature. The idol of today is the god of materialism. And people who live in such an environment, one where they always see only man-made things, they then become slaves to man. They cannot look above these things and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While the vision which looks above all this to the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created are very different. Also, you see, language in the rural areas is more open as compared to the language city people use. The language spoken in villages is more effective than the language spoken in city. It's more pure, no mixing of slangs. Now you see, the Arabs were chosen. Why? Number one, because they were very strong people. No one could confront them. They were warriors. And number two, the Arabs were also more straightforward people. What they thought, they said as well. And thirdly, they had a very close observation of nature. Like you see, Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, verse 17 to 20, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Translation, do they not look at the camels, how they are created, the sky, how it is raised high, the mountains, how they are firmly set, and the earth, how it is spread out. But you see, we would need to go to the zoo to see a camel, huh? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not say to us, do you see the heater or the fan, how it works, or how is the roof raised above you, or the pillars of your house? This is what we see every day. So obviously, this is man-made, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to see His creation. And the Arabs were chosen for these qualities they had. They did not live artificial lives. So number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these people or this nation because of some of their qualities and because of living in this specific environment. And then number two, their language was pure, and thus Allah Ta'ala chose this nation because of their qualities. Number two, chose their language. Why? Because their language was pure. Because you see, a language reflects the thoughts and ideology and character of its people, and their language was close to nature, and therefore it was very important to reveal to the people the lessons to teach from nature. Now, the language of the Quran is written and spoken still to this day. Otherwise, you see, in a few hundred years, the languages change. Sometimes they lose their existence. Also, we come to know the Orientalists have tried a lot to try and wipe out the real and basic Arabic language by promoting the colloquial languages or dialects in different countries, but they were unsuccessful. like they wanted that the Arabs divide amongst one another and not have such a close contact to the Quran. Also, you see, the language Arabic. This language has connected all the Arab world as well. But they don't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected this language from all that they do. Now, the opposite of Arabi is Ajami. And in Arabic, Ajam means someone who is dumb. And you see, the Arabs knew how eloquent their own language was. And they would say that the other languages do not have the vastness of expression and the depth that Arabic does. And you know, they would call other nations Ajam. Also, it is a very comprehensive language. Such as if we want to say, he read Tasbih. Or we say, he read Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. So you see, in Arabic, all you have to say is Sabbaha. If you note that in the word to word translation that you do every day, there is one Arabic word and then three or four English words to explain that one word. For example, look at this word Al-Mubin, the one clear, the one open. Then look at Mubin, it is just one word, huh? Similarly, Sabbaha, he glorified. And Sabbaha, it's only three letters, Seen, Ba, Ha. So you see, a small number of words can say so much in Arabic. Similarly, Sabbahat, she glorified. Sabbahna, we glorified. For example, when we say, he hit us. Now this becomes Darabana. Darabana. And that's all. Now, other languages do not have this quality. You see, had this Quran been revealed in another language, it would be a lot more than 30 juz, maybe 60. Similarly, daraba, like I told you, it means to hit. Now, in English, hit means only to hit, huh? But daraba in Arabic can mean different things. To hit, or to travel, or to give an example. And similarly, each night of the month has a different name in Arabic. Like we have a different name of each day of the week. Huh? Sometimes one word can have opposite meanings, such as zan. It can mean to conjecture or to have certainty. So it has opposite meanings as well. Then there are many words for the word sharab. Sometimes for long sentences, only one word is enough. Then in one verb, you can find the future tense and the present tense. For example, yadribu, it has two meanings. He hits or he will hit. So you see, this gives beauty to the meanings of the Holy Quran. For example, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah created horses and mules. وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Now, يَخْلُقُ, it is فِيلِ مُدَارِ. He creates what you do not know. And second meaning is, he will create in future which you do not know. So these two meanings, this is because of فِيلِ مُدَارِ. Now, you cannot have this in any other language, huh? Now, people question as to why the Quran was not revealed in the English language, huh? But you see, for example, look at this English language. It is a product of the man-made artificial world. It can have a rich and a very strong vocabulary, but the demands of the artificial world are different to that of the world of nature. So it will not fulfill all the needs. Now I will read a sentence in Arabic and then in English, and you will see that although Arabic is not our language, but the effect is different to any other language. Look at verse 2. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum taqilun. We have revealed this Quran in the Arabic language so that you may understand. Now note the effect they both have. please do not try to understand the words or the meanings, okay? Just listen to the sound, because the sound affects our hearts. When we hear a language, it affects us. Just look at its frequency, okay? I'll repeat.
إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون.
We have revealed this Quran in the Arabic language so that you may understand. Did you feel the sound in both? I'll read the translation again. We have revealed this Quran in the Arabic language so that you may understand. No such effects. Now, if we try to read the same sentence in different languages, then we will note the difference. Try in any other language. I'll try in Pashto, huh?
Munga nazil kade de da Quran pa arabay jabake chita su poishe.
Now in Urdu, humne Quran nazil kiya hai arbi zaban mein taake tum samaj sako. You see the difference? I'll repeat in Arabic.
Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan arabiyyan la'allakum taqilun.
See, it has some different effect. It affects the heart. No other language can do that. You see, the ease in Arabic language is in no other language. Similarly, if you look at the haroof-e-muqattaat, alif, lam, ra, or alif, lam, meem. See, you can say it in English, A-L-M. It does not have effect, huh? The ease in Arabic language is in no other language. Now, there must be some from among you who have read and understood the Arabic sentence for the first time, like its meaning and translation. Now, those who already knew Nazara, but did not know the translation, but they too learn it so quickly. Now, how is this possible? You see, the basic reason is that this is Allah's language. And He has promised, what?
وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَحَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ
If any of you have studied a language before, then you can judge that it is not possible that you could have learned the translation of any other language as you have of the Qur'an. And the greatest quality of the Qur'an is that it affects the hearts, it changes the hearts. It was revealed on the heart. And this changing, that is the demand in deen, that people's hearts should change. Because it is when the heart changes that intentions and actions, speech and dealings change. Your love and hatred all changes. You see, the revolution that the Holy Prophet ﷺ brought was so successful because he changed people's hearts with this Quran. So in a few years, they became such rulers of Arab and non-Arabs.
Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan arabiyyan la'allakum taqilun.
We have revealed this Quran in the Arabic language so that you may understand. You all understand. All people, everyone should understand. Taqilun. You all use your intellect. It is revealed in this language so that not only the Arabs, but all, everyone understands. Then said,
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ
We relate to you the best of the stories. We are relating the أحسن القصص. The story of Yusuf is called the best of stories, the most beautiful of all the stories. Now, قصص literally means to go after something. It is used both for singular and plural tense. Now, a story is called قصص. Why? Because the narrator is following the incidents and the listeners are going after the narrator. Why is this called أحسن القصص, huh? Number one, the whole story is in one place in the form of a story. It is not spread all over the Quran. Like if you note that Musa alayhi salam's story is spread out throughout the Holy Quran, but not this.
The story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam appears in this surah alone. It has not been repeated anywhere in the Holy Quran, with the exception of Surah Al-An'am and Surah Mu'min, where only the name of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam has been mentioned as a messenger of Allah. Now, we consider a story is something with jokes and stories of love or any interesting incident, stories of kings and queens, etc. That is what comes to our mind. Among us, any incident that we enjoy is called a story, and it does not have to have a lesson in it. But in the Arabic language, qasas means to narrate. Literally, it means to narrate. That is, with a lesson, and there is some discussion on something. And it is not just a story for the sake of it. So here it tells of the outcome, the end result of envy and jealousy. It tells of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent help to His people at the most crucial and difficult moments. It tells of the rebellion and bad qualities in human soul, nafs. It opens up man's psychology and clearly presents it. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We relate to you the best of the stories. Why? بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا. Through revealing إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. This Qur'an to you. Look at this word, بِمَا. بِ means with, and also because of what. Now here the story of Yusuf is called أَحْسَنُ الْقَصَصِ. Who was Yusuf alayhi salam? We see he was from the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam's son Ishaq had a son called Yaqub alayhi salam, and his son was Yusuf alayhi salam. That is why we come to know from this hadith narrated Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Yusuf, Ibn Yaqub, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Ibrahim, the Honorable, the Son of the Honorable, the Son of the Honorable, the Son of the Honorable, that is, Yusuf, the Son of Yaqub, the Son of Ishaq, the Son of Ibrahim. This is from Al-Bukhari. This is a chain of honorable people. This story is not the story of some ordinary people, but a story of a person who is from a line of respected and honored family. Yusuf, Ibn Yaqub, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Ibrahim. Yusuf, the son of Yaqub, the son of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim. بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Through revealing this Qur'an to you. So the means of teaching in the Qur'an are different. Sometimes it is a story, sometimes it is through direct commands, and sometimes with an invitation to reflect on the universe. Like you see, even today the way to teach a child is often through a story. This is the most modern way. Like at school, when young, we read small stories in which there are facts and things to learn. Like Peter and Jane. What is it, huh? A series of stories. It has different characters. Even when you do masters in English language, why is it that you have to read some novels and plays? It is to learn the language. Even in today's modern world, the way to learn is storytelling. Now the purpose of revealing this Qur'an is to teach. And for teaching, the sources that have been adopted, one of the sources is, that is, through different events. Like you see, in this dunya, the false stories, the ones which are based on lies, are the interesting ones. Whereas the Qur'an, although it is Ahsanul Qasas, but still, it is totally based on the truth. أَوْحَيْنَا, based on wahi, nothing is made up in the Qur'an. أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. Now here does not only mean أَحْسَن in the Qur'an, okay? but also ahsan among the stories of the world. Why? Because their base is on assumption, supposition, while the stories in the Quran, its base is on wahi.
Bima awhayna ilayka hadha al-Quran,
through revealing this Quran to you. So that is why it is ahsan al-qasas.
Wa in kunta min qablihi lamin al-ghafilin,
though before this you were one of those who did not know. You had no knowledge, you meaning the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You had no knowledge of the story. Now, which reality does this show us, huh? That the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not know the unseen. O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you knew nothing before. Because one who knows the unseen is not then unaware. He knows all. The story is, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ. This is the narrative of that time when Yusuf said to his father. Now Yusuf alayhi salam's era was 19 centuries BC before Christ. 1900 years before Christ. Imagine that this is almost 4000 years ago. Imagine this and then read the story, okay? Because this will add to the beauty of the story. All this happened at that time, and we know this for sure.
إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ,
when Yusuf said to his father, who's the father? Yaqub alayhi salam. Ya Abati, O my father. Ya Abati is to call with love. He said, O my father,
إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا,
in a dream I saw 11 stars.
وَالشَّمْسَ,
and the sun. وَالْقَمَرَ, and the moon.
رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ,
I saw them prostrate themselves before me. Now what is the dream? And you see, it was an unusual dream. So what happened?
قَالَ, the father said.
What?
يَا بُنَيَّ,
my dear little son.
لَا رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ,
do not say anything about this dream to your brothers.
Why?
Now why did he say this, huh? Because the father could see that the brothers did not have a very good relationship. The brothers were jealous of him and they would cause him some kind of problem if they heard this dream. Which shows that Yaqub alayhi salam was in a way planning to save from some loss, and he was in a way interpreting the dream and implying good advices, good things for Yusuf alayhi salam. But you see, before Allah Ta'ala's will, this attempt at protecting made no difference. What he feared would happen in the end did come to pass.
قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَقْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ,
he replied, my dear little son, do not say anything about this dream to your brothers.
فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا,
lest they plot an evil scheme against you. Why?
إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ,
for shaitan is an open enemy to human beings. And along with it, he told the interpretation of the dream. That is,
وَكَذَلِكَ,
likewise, thus, it will happen.
يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ,
as you have seen in your dream, it will happen that you will be chosen by your Rabb. For what?
For
his work, for Allah's work. That is, this dream showed that Yusuf alayhi salam would be chosen by Allah. Why? For prophethood, for the blessings.
وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ,
and he will teach you how to interpret visions, dreams. Meaning, number one, وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ, means, number one, how to reach the depth of things, depth of affairs. And second meaning is, how to interpret dreams.
وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ,
and will perfect his favor upon you.
نِعْمَة,
نِعْمَتَهُ here means prophethood. وعلى آل ياقوب and the children of ياقوب كما أتمها على أبويك من قبل إبراهيم وإسحاق as he perfected it upon your forefathers Ibrahim and Ishaq before you. Who were these two fathers? Look at the word أبويكَ, two fathers, your two fathers. Who are they? من قبل, from before or before you, huh? They were Ibrahim and Ishaq alayhi salam. As he perfected it upon your forefathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq before you. Meaning like how Allah Ta'ala made them prophets. So he will make you a prophet, a Nabi as well. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ Surely your Rabb is knowledgeable, wise.